Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, which is chapter 4, canto 7. Text number 19. Is that necessary, that noise? Could you turn it off? Please repeat. Sa itam nirjita kakub ekarad vishayan priyan yato pashyosham punjano na tripyad ajitendriyaha sa itam nirjita kakub eka rad vishayan priyan yato payosam bunjano na tripyad ajitendriyaha sa itam nirjita kapkub eka rad vishayan priyan yato payosham bhunjano na tripyad ajitendriyaha sa itam nirjita kapkub ekarad vishayan priyan yato payosham bhunjano na tripyad ajitendriyaha. So thank you very much. So word for word, please repeat. Saha, he, Hiranyakashipu, itam, thus, Nirjita, conquered. Kabkub, all directions within the universe. Ekarat, the one emperor of the whole universe. Vishayan, material sense objects. Priyan, very pleasing. Yata upayocham, as much as possible. Punjanaha, enjoying. Na, did not. Atripyat, was satisfied. Ajita indrayai, being unable to control the senses. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. In spite of achieving the power to control all directions, and in spite of enjoying all types of material sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Please respite. In spite of achieving the power to control in all directions, and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because if instead of controlling the senses, he remained their servant. Not a good idea. Purport. This is an example of a Asuric life. Atheists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses. But because they are controlled by the senses, They cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women. Yet, dissatisfaction prevails within human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine. But because people in such a material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu was a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. Mukam karochi vachalam phangam laite kirim yakripa tamaham bande shri guru nidinatarinam sa itam nijita kabkub eke radvishayan priyan yatopa yosham bunjano na tripyad ajitendriya. In spite of achieving all the power to control in all directions, and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because if instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Yes. So Hiranyakashipu, he was controlling every part of the universe except one small part. And that was himself, his senses. Right? You see, Prabhupada's translation is very ironic, almost humorous. In spite of achieving the power to control all directions, because he couldn't control his senses. So, which would you prefer? Would you prefer to control the whole universe or prefer to control your senses? What is the message in this verse? Huh? It's more difficult to control your senses than to control the universe. Even the Bible, right? There's a Bible. What do they say? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, the universe, but suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Right? So, we don't want to control the universe. Krishna's already doing a good job. But what we can contribute is to control our senses. Hiranyakashipu, he controlled the whole universe, but he was still miserable, frustrated. He was ready to kill his own son. Oh, Prahlad, what have you learned? Oh, I've learned many things. My mother told me, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. I have heard, Narada Muni taught his mother and his mother taught him bhakti. So he was getting his classmates to chant and discuss the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a sloka in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada quotes it many times. That just like the sun takes away the duration of our life day by day, however, the person who chants and learns the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his life is not diminished. His life becomes eternal. So this is how we control the universe of our senses. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padanam, Atmani Vedanam. This is more powerful than controlling the universe. The senses will, as Krishna explains in the Gita, that if you haven't controlled the mind, then it can become your worst enemy. But if you can control the mind, then he can become your best friend. So that is why we perform sadhana bhakti. There are different levels of bhakti. The neophyte, sadhana bhakti, and then bhava bhakti, the uttamadhikari. Sadhana bhakti means following rules and regulations, and then within that, developing raga, attraction to the Supreme Lord. This will give you bhava, and that bhava will condense into prema. So we don't want the universe. It already belongs to Krishna. Ishyavasya idam sarvap yatkinchat jagajam jagat. Tena taktena punjita kashasvittanam. Yes, everything is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. Here, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. There are many bogus philosophies in Kali Yuga, and they think that they will conquer the world by terror. This is very common in, right? We've got to conquer the world for God. And we're going to use anything. We're going to behead people, terrorize them. And in this way, we will offer the world to God. But if your God is God, as given, described fully by the supreme literature of Vedavyas, Vrindavan Das, then you will know already that every atom and molecule within this universe is already under control. There's no need to conquer the universe or the world or some scruffy piece of land through terror. The Supreme Lord is already in perfect control of everything. But you have been misled into your foolishness. So this is the aim of human life, is to control the senses. Prabhupada, many times, yoga indriya samya. That yoga means to control the senses. Prabhupada comes up with that. Control the senses and then fix the consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna within the heart. In the Gita, Krishna explains that if you place the life hairs between the forehead at the tip of the nose and the consciousness within the heart, then one establishes oneself in yoga. So this is a very important point. What is that in the Gita? Knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses. Arjuna, control the senses by the mind and the mind by the intelligence. Control the lower self, the mind and senses, the material body, by the higher self. So the higher self is the intelligence, and of course that is the expression of the soul. So the intelligence has to be fortified with spiritual knowledge. For the neophyte, he must understand that the initial endeavor must be to regulate the senses. Therefore, the spiritual master, he gives the regulation of the senses, but then also he gives sambandha jnana, knowledge of the Supreme Lord and the interrelationship between the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord's energies. This is Sambandha Gyan. Now, if you understand Sambandha Gyan, then you will become purified of the desire to enjoy your senses. Because as we just quoted there, Krishna says, you have to know yourself. This is his advice to Arjuna. You have to know yourself to be transcendental to the senses. You have to come to that realization. In the prayers of Lord Brahma, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 14, Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma explains to Krishna. He's offering prayers, of course, Krishna knows, but he explains that in this world, the objects of our body, aham mamaiti, those things which we claim to ourselves to be our own self, they're very dear to us. My spectacles, my watch, my cloth, haven't got much more, but they're very dear. But more dear than those external objects are the senses. This, when we say the senses, we mean the material body. The material body is the container of the senses. How many senses are there? Mana Shastra Indriyani, Krishna says 6 senses. But we can expand that also. That's one way to categorize. And that is the mind, and then the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of touch, the sense of sight, and the sense of hearing. But there are also 5 working senses. The sense of, or the ability to speak. This is a working, productive sense. The arms are a working sense. Then the digestion, the internal organs. And then the genital is a working sense. And then the legs are a working sense. So these all put their information and get their inspiration from the mind. The mind is the master of the senses, and the senses are also compared. Jai, Sri Sri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhachandra, Lalit Vishaka, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhan, Gomata, Tulsi Maharani, Sri Guru Parampara, Ki Jai. So the senses are. Rupa Goswami has given a verse that if you can control the senses and get the touch of the Supreme Lord, then the senses become, which are like venomous serpents, they become serpents with broken fangs. Once you attain bhava for the Supreme Lord, just like Yamunacharya, he explained, that when I think of sex life, then I spit at the thought. When the idea of enjoying the material senses comes, or some idea, then there's a sense of repugnance. Because this will take me away from my beloved Supreme Lord. So this is the condition of bhava. So unless we have that, then we should follow very carefully the control of these 11 senses. The working senses, they work on the prana. And the knowledge acquiring senses, the jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, they work on the basis of the buddhi. So these senses are also compared in the shastra to co-wives, right? A man has a wife, and he may have many senses, wives. So one wife says, I need a new house. We're going to have a child, we need a bigger place. The man goes and makes a new house. Another wife says, It's my mother's and father's wedding anniversary. I need to visit them. I need a ticket to Outer Mongolia. Okay, here's a one-way ticket. Another wife says, I need a new sari and some gold bangles because all your other wives, they're enjoying and I'm looking bad. So the husband does that. So in this way, the man becomes a servant of the co-wives. This example is given. So, but actually the man is meant to give guidance and direction to the family, not be a purely bowing servant to the demands of the members of the family. But these senses are very dear. They're in the body, we identify with the body, and we make the miscalculation that if I satisfy the senses, if I satisfy the co-wives, I'll be happy. But this sense enjoyment, that's also in the Gita, that Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhi Enam Iha Varinam. That this lust, this direction of desire towards satisfying the senses, this is the greatest enemy. Arjuna has just asked Krishna, because in that section of the Gita, the third chapter, Krishna enumerates the duties of a human being within the Varnashram system, Karma Yoga. But then Arjuna explains, he asks a very intelligent question. He says, yes, okay, those things should be done, but what is stopping me from doing my duty? Because we all want to do the right thing. We all want to do our duty to society and our family members and so on. But what is stopping me? So then Krishna is Karma Esha Rajaguna. So when the senses are treated liberally, then they always demand more. As Krishna explains, it's like a fire that's never satisfied. So these senses, we take them as satisfactory, as us. But when we understand that we're transcendental, when we have this understanding, then we can view them from a detached way. So Lord Brahma said, these senses are more important to us than this external paraphernalia. But then Lord Brahma continues and he says, but more in dear to the person than the senses is the mind. Because the mind, for example, you may defeat somebody in an arm wrestling match, right? But if that person defeats you at chess, it's more painful, right? The mind is closer to the soul, it is more dear to us, it is the reservoir of our karmas, our desires, our conditioning, and it is our internal treasure. It is our little universe within which we live, which we construct an interpretation of reality that is our own, that is our own self-congratulatory, self-pleasing analysis of reality. And when it's impinged upon, when we are put in our place, oh, you're not so clever. Somebody defeated me at logic and argument, somebody defeated me at chess, somebody's smarter than me, then this hits more. This hits home more. So Lord Brahma points this out, that the internal, the mind, the manas, the internal, the mental body, manas, chittam, buddhi, ahankara, this is more dear to us than the external senses. But then Lord Brahma continues, and he explains that the senses, more dear to us than this internal function, is the sense of self, my identity. We may be defeated in argument or a chess game or some mental thing, but then we can dismiss it because we have a sense of esteem, a sense of self-importance, a sense of identity that we retreat within and then brush off the affairs of the external world. Oh, that person beat me, but that was because I wasn't paying attention. I'm better than him anyway. This is the material consciousness. So then Lord Brahma says that this is our deepest self, our own sense of identity. Of course, Lord Brahma is speaking to people who understand that, but many people don't have a sense of internal identity. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, now our senses through the media, television, all the brainwashing on the... it's drawn outward, and nobody has this sense of innerness, identity. But then Lord Brahma says, but higher than this, actually, than the little self, most dear to the living entity, is the Supreme Self. And we see that in the lives of the devotees. They are ready to do anything for the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord is more dear to them than their own self. The highest example of that is the gopis in Vrindavan. They threw aside, and they're glorified, and of course this was 5,000 years ago, it wasn't Malecha society. They threw aside all position, status, any respect from society, just to run in the middle of the night to serve Krishna. They couldn't care less about their family members, their relationships, what people would say. The only thing that concerned them was to satisfy Krishna. Krishna's playing his flute in the moonlight. He's calling us. So let us go there to serve him. The gopis didn't run there to enjoy Krishna. They went to see Krishna to serve him. So this understanding is primary. We have to understand this gradation. And also in the Gita, Krishna explains this in the 6th chapter, 8th chapter, that how to enter into this realization of the transcendental world. He explains that we should understand, first, we withdraw our attention or our consciousness from the external paraphernalia, and we place it within the senses. And then the consciousness, Krishna explains, should be withdrawn from the senses to within the mind. And then the consciousness should be withdrawn from the mind to within the soul. And then the soul should be placed within the Supreme Lord on the transcendental platform. And we should practice like that. This is called Bhuta Shuddhi, right? Those that know, do deity worship, we all know that we chant this mantra before we perform Bhuta deity worship. Naham vipro cha narapatiye naipi vaishana sudro naham vani na chukriya priti. What am I? I have nothing to do with this external body. It may be designated as Brahmacharya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever. I have nothing to do with that. What am I? What is my identify? What am I identifying with? Gopi Bhata Kamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. So this is called Bhuta Shuddhi. Bhuta means entity, purification. So before we do the puja, we are. I'm not this materially designated mind and body with all this. What am I? I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. And we situate ourselves in that identity. So similarly, even though you may not be doing deity worship, you should practice this simple step-by-step withdrawal of your consciousness from external paraphernalia, physical body, mental body, into the soul, and then dedicate the soul in devotion to the Leela of Krishna before you start to seriously chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have to, when we, yes, chant and be happy, we hear that. But there is a deeper science, there's a deeper knowledge to chanting. That if you withdraw your senses in this way, before you chant, then you will find that you are situating yourself in transcendence, and you will be able to realize transcendence directly. Because indriya sama, yes, the senses are to be controlled. That is yoga. But once the senses are controlled, what are you going to do? You must dedicate the consciousness to the realization of the transcendental abode. So that's one side of the coin. Control the senses. And the senses cannot be controlled unless they are given a higher engagement. Unless you're touching Krishna with your consciousness, Krishna's not ultimately realized through the material senses. He's realized through the purified consciousness. If you're getting the touch of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, then you can control the senses easily, because you will get the higher taste. What is that verse? Rasoham apsakunte. No. Rasopyasya. How does it start? Rasovarjam rasopyasya param drisva nivartite. How does the shloka start? Anyway. That's it. Vishavinivartante niharasya dehina. Rasopyasya param drisva nivartite. The senses, they want to enjoy. We want to enjoy. Krishna, he's Leela Mayi. He wants to enjoy. We want to enjoy. But we're enjoying in the wrong platform. And this is the great mistake. So we should thank Hiranyakashipu, because he is illustrating the foolishness of this. He wants eternal life in a place of birth and death. He wants to enjoy in a miserable place. Dukalayam asashvatam. When Krishna describes the material world, Dukalayam asashvatam. Dukalayam is a miserable place. You'll never be satisfied by material senses. Prabhupada explained, Dhanam Janam Sundaram. This is how Lord Chaitanya, profit, adoration, distinction, all these things, they will never satisfy you because they are material. And even if they have some ephemeral titillation to your consciousness, they're temporary. There's no satisfaction in the material world. You marry the girl of your dreams and she turns out to be a feminist. The rest of your life is an argument. So this material world is designed like this. Hiranyakashipu is giving us a perfect illustration. This is his mercy. Ultimately he's a devotee. Ultimately everyone is a devotee. But just like Shankaracharya in his Sarika Basya, he got all the Mayavadi arguments together and put them into one book so that they could be defeated by the Vaishnavacharyas, Ramanuja Madhvacharya, and ultimately Mahaprabhu. So similarly, Hiranyakashipu, he's conquered the whole universe, but he's not happy. He's ready to kill somebody who should be most dear, the sun. The sun is most dear. Actually, Chanika Pandit says that the daughter is the most dear object for the father. That is a statement of Chanika Pandit. But the children are most dear. People give their whole life to bring up their children. Now Hiranyakashipu, in his frustration, he's ready to kill his child because his child says, I'm not interested in your diplomacy, Sanaka, Sananda, his teachers. They're teaching me friends and enemies, diplomacy. They're teaching me Dharma, Artha, and Calm, but they're not teaching me Moksha. This is what the demons do in those days. How to be respected as a good man, how to develop your treasury, how to enjoy, but not moksha. Don't go to that side. I'm not interested in that, friend. I'm interested in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this word yoga is very important. It's a very deep word. It means plus, Prabhupada says in one. It means union, it means together. So we have to have this understanding that I'm a spirit soul, and we should conjure up this understanding in a regulated way. Just in the same way, in a regulated way we chant. So when we chant, we should regulate this conception within our mind, situate ourselves. I was just reading the Narada Puran last night, and one section there, and Narada Muni was explaining that the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul is matsarya, envy, hatefulness, nastiness. Why? Why is it? Because if you want to touch Krishna, if you want to enter the transcendental realm, you can't go there with envy. We are all in the material world because of non-acceptance of the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. I once did big research. Why are we coming to this? And I did. And Prabhupada, throughout his, in the Veda base, he explains, we are envious of the Supreme Lord, we don't accept, but the particular aspect that we don't accept is that he is more powerful than me. Hiranyakashipu embodies that. So now, how to deal with that mistake in our consciousness? Because if we maintain remnants of this rebelliousness, he's supreme, then we cannot dedicate our soul and we cannot enter transcendental energy. We remain outside. Therefore, it's the greatest enemy. So the specific meditation is the understanding that Krishna is the most powerful. He is the source of everything. His energy is unlimited. But that energy is used not as Hiranyakashipu, as to terrorize people. In this material world, if somebody is in a high position, they think nothing of saying nasty things to people, to denigrating people. They feel rivalry to their peer group. They feel envy, hatefulness to those they perceive as superior. This is Hiranyakashipu. So when we hear of supremacy and surrender, we may consider that this is the surrender and exploitation and nastiness that comes by surrendering to the material people. Because that's what's going on in Kali Yuga. We interpret in that way. But if we, in this Leela, realize, and through the whole Bhagavatam, realize that Krishna, with all his unlimited potency, is also unlimitedly compassionate and merciful, and that Krishna is a person desiring our welfare. This is the difference between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Duryodhana, the pure devotee. He took the position Yudhisthira because Krishna wanted it. But Duryodhana wanted the position for the money, the status, and the self-intoxication of illusion and power. But Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted his position to serve. So this illustrates the nature of the Supreme Lord. The nature of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is unlimitedly compassionate upon the fallen soul. So we have to understand that aspect of Krishna. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains that the mercy of the Supreme Lord is the most important aspect of the Supreme's personality for the conditioned soul. Krishna, what is that verse? Sri Chaitanya Kripa Paro Bhuvi Bhuvo Bharava Hantarako. The six Goswamis, they were non-envious, and they therefore always Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kunipano Sadharma Samstapano. They were always compiling all the Shastra for the benefit of the living entities. And because of their pure nature, they were receptacles of Sri Chaitanya. So all the troubles and all the niggles and the big niggles, Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield because life is a fight. So we have to enlist, like Arjuna, the help of the Supreme Lord if we want to. And this, what is that verse? Sava apudi vinir muktam tatprena nirmalam rishikesha rishikena sevanam bhaktam uchite. That what is bhakti? It means to give your senses, like we say, to place your soul in the realm of transcendence and reciprocate with the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord is ready at any moment to accept us. But out of his humility, he does not interfere with our free will. We have to choose. Just like Pralambasura is killed by Balaram. So the demons killed by Balaram are the demons, the anathas, that we have to struggle with. So Pralambasura means he's dressed like a devotee, but his intention is otherwise. Denikasura, killed by Balaram. Denikasura is the ass. He doesn't taste the tal fruits, which represents the rasa in the Shastra, but he doesn't want anyone else to take it. So we have to apply ourselves to the Shastra. We have to apply ourselves to the sincerity. So when we practice controlling the senses, it is that dedicated practice that attracts the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Try to understand that. That yoga means control the senses and to offer the soul to Krishna in a sincere way and then Krishna will take your senses and control them himself personally. So if you can't understand anything anyway, then just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Anyway, thank you very much. I hope it's instructive. So, any question?
Thank you for a wonderful lecture. I think it's a very good point that you said about surrender to the Supreme Krishna, to work it like it's not like a surrender.
There's too much. Go ahead, go ahead.
So the point of surrender, like you said that it's maybe we have this confusion about like when we are told that we should surrender to God,
Can I speak on that more?
Yes.
Well, yes, that's a big point, because nowadays everyone is being exploited. Right? Everyone is a wage slave. They're taxed to death. They're given medicine that makes them sick. They're given them knowledge that makes them foolish. They're given them an education that turns them into a donkey. They're given places to live. They're not even given work. Krishna says, kleshas adhikarascha in the Gita. You have a right to work, to do your duty. Everything is corrupt. Now, particularly at this time, we see that everyone is frustrated in the world. So without Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada says, without this dedication, but that dedication, that's why it's most important that the correct conception of the Supreme Lord is there. So in the Gita that is given, what is that verse? Suridam. Huh? Yes, do everything for Krishna. But Krishna, he explains his Suridam Sarvabhutarnam. Bhuktiram Yogita Krishna. That Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutarnam. Krishna is not some exploitive rakshasa in the dress of a government officer. Hiranyakashipu. Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the well-wisher. You may have a family friend, you may have a social friend, but Suridam Sarvabhuta, it means he's your well-wisher. Krishna always remains the well-wisher. Just like Prabhupada used to sign, your ever well-wisher. So Krishna is ever well-wisher. The Guru is the ever will, the qualified guru is the ever well wisher. He doesn't want to exploit the disciple for his self aggrandizement. He becomes the servant of the disciple. Prabhupada used to explain that he saw his disciples as being sent by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta to help him in his service. So to understand Krishna and to execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the simple and clear path to perfection. So the nature of the perfect Supreme Lord is manifest in the Uttamadhikari devotees. You understand? So if you want to turn it, now we don't realize Krishna directly, but when we associate with the Uttamadhikari, the Paramahansa, the Thakur, when we read their writings, when we read the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when we see their unlimited bhava and love in their writings, this will give us faith in surrender. We will realize more and more. So that is the formula to actually, we didn't mention that, it's Vrindavan Das Thakur today, his appearance day. Huh? Appearance day. Disappearance. What's the difference? They manifest and then they go to Leela. There's no So Vrindavan Das Thakur. Luckily, I was able to present that book with Sarva Bhavana. If you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, if I may say, then you'll realize the mercy of Krishna. Namo Mahavadanyaya. When I was editing that book, I had to stop because it was so ecstatic, that book, that you couldn't sit down. You had to go for a walk and chant. So if you touch the Shastra, then this is the window. This is the window to the perfection of the spiritual personalities. Huh? What is that verse? Krishna Leela Vedavyas, Chaitanya Leela Vrindavan Das. Yes. So particularly the Leela of, and you can read Bhakti Ratnaka, and the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gauritvishe Namaha. If you become immersed in Chaitanya Leela, and because Krishna is Madhurya Leela, honey Leela, but Lord Chaitanya is Adhurya Leela. It's a, you know, it. Just like sometimes you go crazy and you give a beggar 10 rupees, right? You become generous. You become overcome with kindness. Okay, give me 5 rupees back. But the Supreme Lord, when he gets into a generous mood, he gives Krishna prema. Yeah. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Of course, you give more than 10 rupees, please. No offense. So, if we meditate on the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, Vrindavan Das Thakur, we read Chaitanya Bhagavat, we read the writings of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, then we'll become inspired to surrender. Because we'll realize these are people that I want to be with. You understand? Huh? We don't want to be with these crazy people in the material world. Huh? What did Bhaktisiddhanta say? This material world, no place for a gentleman. Huh? It's almost terrifying to just even read the newspaper nowadays. What is going on? Everyone is fighting. Age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There's no peace even inside a home. Everyone is being polluted. We don't want to be here. We want to be with Lord Chaitanya's associates. We want to be with Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta. This material world also not a nice, but said Bhaktisiddhanta said it's like a toilet. You do your business and you leave. You don't hang around. So our business is to read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Chaitanya Bhagavat and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Krishna will just take you. Don't worry. And then you'll realize how wonderful Krishna has been to you all your life, all your existence. So, thank you all very much. Any other questions? Ah, okay, I knew. It's getting a bit late. 1 minute answer this time. Please sit.
So by the senses, when I'm thinking of the senses are inadequate to engage in the senses, okay, half-eater is the senses.
So just like when we chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then also our senses are dragging, which we don't want to see. Our senses are just going there. So,
well, that was the whole class. Get a recording of the class and listen to it 5 times and you'll get half the idea. You control the senses by engaging them in the service of Krishna. And how do you get that desire? By chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Vrindavan Dham, Srimati Radharani, Radhisham Sundar Ki Jai.